Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you are. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
How do you go about getting an exorcism?
I beg your pardon?
Hi, this is Mark Kermode. Thanks for downloading this Kermode on Film podcast. I'm joined once again by Jack Howard. Hello, Jack.
Hello.
We are counting down our top 10 best and worst films of the year.
We're also in a little bit of a rush.
We have exactly 29 minutes to do this. So we've already done our top, because we're doing five each, five times two is 10. So we've done our best of the year. We've also done number five to number three, or my number three of our worst of the year.
No, my number three of
worst. Oh, your number three of worst of the year.
Yes.
So we're picking up with my number three of worst of the
year.
We
are.
Okay. So in that case, let's crack straight on. My number three of worst films of the year was Halloween Kills.
Oh, I haven't seen it because I heard it was crap.
What a stinker. And here's the terrifying thing about Halloween Kills.
Go on.
Nothing in the film. Nothing in the film. What's really, really disappointing about it is that the rebooted Halloween, I mean, Halloween has been rebooted, reinvented, rethought, rethunk so many times, but the rebooted Halloween, which put Jamie Lee Curtis absolutely center stage and made it a film about, you know, PTSD.
Yep.
And so it was like, wow, this is great. You found a way of making Halloween interesting. And suddenly all this is, it's like, great. It's now I'm invested. And now there's going to be two more. Oh, okay, fine. So now, oh no, this is just
same
Halloween
again.
This is literally right back to, because Halloween, you know, Halloween, great. Halloween 2, yeah. Season of the Witch, fine. Halloween 4, which was the first film I reviewed for Time Out.
Revenge of Michael Myers. He's still back. We're sorry that
he
didn't put him in the third one.
No, he was. Yes, that's right. Which actually was much better for the fact that you didn't put him in the third one. And it was just like, I interviewed Peter Straub, who was the author of Ghost Story, around about the same time that Halloween 4 was out. And he said, have you seen the new Halloween movie? He said, it is literally a guy in a mask and a knife, and that's it.
Yeah.
And Halloween Kills, it's like a guy in a mask. And they blow him up, they shoot him, they set fire to him, the thing, but no, he's still coming. And then there's a plot thing when there's Jamie Lee Curtis, he picks up exactly where the last one finished. All right, no, she's in the thing, and then he's going there, but he's going there.
Don't they lock her down for a bit?
She's in hospital most of the time. She's in hospital. And then he's going to the park. He's going to the house. He's going to the hospital. He's going to the thing. And it just
remember,
like,
this person?
Yeah. They're dead. And it's absolutely mind-buggeringly dull. And I just...
I think that's why I didn't see it, because I just saw the trailer and was like, yeah, it looks like a Halloween film.
Yeah. And you know what the final one is called?
Dies?
Halloween
Ends? Dies?
What is it?
This one's called Kills.
Is it Ends?
Halloween... Who knows?
Is it Ends?
I think it's Dies.
I don't know. Hang on, let me look it
but
up.
While you're looking that up, do you know that the Revenge... The fourth, fifth and sixth Halloween movies, the original ones, have the same titles as Pink Panther movies.
Do they? Okay, go on.
So it's The Revenge of Michael Myers.
Yep.
Which is like The Revenge of the Pink Panther, or The Return, or something like that. And then the fifth one... I'm looking things up now.
Hang on. Is it called Halloween Dies, the last one?
That's what I was thinking.
I think it is, but I mean, it's like, this is the point. We neither know or frankly care.
Yeah. That's true.
So where are we? Here we go. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, here we go. Revenge of the Pink Panther. Curse of the Pink Panther.
Oh.
Yeah. Return. Okay. Of the, but yeah. So that's you don't want a comparison to that, do you?
No, you don't. You really
Halloween
don't.
Halloween movies. Oh, those films are terrible as well. Like, and they start doing all the curse stuff, the curse of, you know, all the fact that he's passing it on to this new girl. Oh my god.
I know. Rubbish.
And then Rob Zombie, when this kid, he became Michael Myers, and they made it less like spooky, like boogeyman stuff, and more like, oh, actually, he could be just a school shooter.
I think it's called Halloween Ends. Hang on. Yeah, so it's called, the last one's called Halloween Ends, and
I don't believe them,
and it's not going to. Yeah. So anyway, that was my choice. So where are you now?
Okay, so my second worst film of the year, Venom: Let There Be Carnage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Oh, did you like it?
Yes.
Why?
Because it was funny.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, this is the thing, is that like, when I was watching it, I was like laughing at it, but then afterwards I was like, that was rubbish. But this is the thing, is that I thought that there was some like interesting ideas in it,
yeah,
that it was just sort of ploughing through, and it was like, and it was just kind of weird. And I think it has some interesting kind of scenes in it. Like, I like all the weird stuff where they separate and Venom weirdly becomes a gay icon and without knowing, just goes to a club and he just starts relating to the LGBTQ community without really realising that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
So it's got, like, some fun stuff in there, but then, like, I'm also just like, oh, what are Sony doing? Like, and what is all this for? Like it's just... It's the cynical version of the Marvel stuff to me.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It's like the... It's just smashy, crashy. We're trying to get on the back of that. We want to do our own cinematic universe as well. And all of it really is leading towards that end credit sequence where he thinks himself into the MCU.
I kind of enjoyed it. I sort of, you know, I thought...
I can see why.
Did you think it was better or worse than Venom?
Oh, yeah, probably better. Just probably because it was swifter.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was... here's the thing, you know, I saw it in 4DX.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So
literally, you know, being shaken around.
It's like watching it on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Really, really, really terrifying. Like,
yeah. Spraying stuff at you. How was that experience?
I enjoyed it. It was the right film to see in 4DX, you know. Yeah. I liked it. I mean, you not think Andy Serkis did a decent job directing it?
I think it was okay. Look... Yeah, like I think really like my problems with it are just in terms of how like swiftly it's dealing with all of its content within it. Like, I quite like the idea of Cletus Cassidy, the serial killer who becomes Carnage, feeding Eddie Brock a bunch of stuff about like where he dug up because he later digs up all of his the murders that he'd done that had never been found.
Yeah.
I like it. Feels like a David Fincher plot, like serial killer feeding information to a journalist like that. But it just sort of happens.
The idea of you comparing Venom to Let There Be College to David Fincher. David Fincher's Venom to Let There Be College, I think, probably would be a different movie.
You see what I mean? But like, I would see that. Yeah, and then it was also like, I don't know. I just thought it was pants. Like I was laughing at it the whole time.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't think it was any good.
I confess that I was laughing with it.
Fair.
I mean, I did enjoy it. I thought the jokes were funny. I thought the whole thing with Eddie, you know, which I found
sausages.
very annoying in the first. Just right. Do you know where that? You know what sausages? Oh, no, never mind. Okay, for people who are as old as me, that's life. Sausages. I can't even begin to explain
it.
Anyway, I thought that the jokes were funny, and I was really surprised by how much I enjoyed it. And I said, I think a couple of times in my review, you know, I'm surprised by how funny it is. And I think I'm even quoted on the sleeve of the DVD saying,
right,
I'm surprised by how funny it is.
I think it's interesting as well, watching that movie and being like, it feels like they're trying to make an early 2000s or late 90s Jim Carrey film.
Oh, what, you mean like The Mask or something?
Or something like that, yeah. Like, it feels like it would be that kind of film, but it just has Tom Hardy in it. Yeah. I think it's similar to how you feel about your the worst one, the one that you said, the Silent Night film that you...
Yeah. I wanted to like it more.
Yeah, because I like the Venom character. And I also, I think a frustration I have as well is that the idea of it from the comics and the cartoons and things like that is that it is literally about like bringing out the dark side of a character.
Yeah.
And in this, Venom is very much his own character. Like Venom and Eddie are different, yeah, and Venom has his own personality. And these things, and like, I guess it would be different depending on who he would bond with. But yeah, I'm just watching it being like, oh, this isn't quite what Venom is to me.
Okay.
I don't know. It's
okay.
It's,
well, I enjoyed it. I know that you know, a lot of people didn't enjoy it as much as I did, but I thought it was fine.
Ooh. What's happening? No. What the hell is that?
Oh, that's just a towel. Where are we? What did you do?
It wasn't me.
Incredibly, this shocking revelation brought to light by yours truly has only raised more...
What is this?
...life of Peter Parker, a.k.a. Spider-Man, a.k.a. the Spider Menace. But rest assured, dear viewers, we here in the Daily Bugle will not rest until we've uncovered the
truth.
I'm J. Jonah Jameson. Good night. And God help us all.
Dude, what are you doing in my room?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My number two, Shoplifters of the World.
Okay.
We talked about this before. This is the film that Morrissey approved of. It's a film based on a bit of Smith's fan trivia. And the story is that when the Smiths break up, a young man goes to a local record station, that is radio station, that is playing, you know, like heavy rock, and demands that the man play nothing but Smith's records. And the DJ is kind of like, you know, he's broken in and, oh, it's the thing, and now I have to play Smith's records. And then they play the Smith's records, and during the course of it, he and the DJ kind of, they discover that they have things in you know, in similar. But meanwhile, out in the world, all these Smiths fans who are also, they're heartbroken because the Smiths have broken up, they all come and they flock around the stations. It's like a heist, a siege movie, but it's about playing the Smiths, you know, thing. And do you know what happened in the real world?
Go on.
The Smiths fan drove to the radio station, and then because he's a Smiths fan, yeah, he went home. He didn't do anything, he just went home, because he's a Smiths fan, he just went home. Because, so anyway, it's a movie which kind of uses every awful Morrissey lyric cliche imaginable and tries to turn it into something that is kind of, you know, profound and poignant. And it's just like somebody has written a script by using a random Smiths word generator and sticking a whole bunch of lines together. And then playing a bunch of Smith songs, which, and of course, this is difficult for me because I used to love the Smiths.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you. Can you still listen to the Smiths? You can't listen to them anymore.
No, I haven't listened to them
in a long time.
I can't hear Morrissey's voice now without wanting to pull my ears off.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
But it's, I mean, the person I feel really sorry for is Johnny Marr, yeah. because obviously Johnny Marr is, you know, responsible for more than half of why everything that's brilliant about the Smiths. And I think it must be very difficult being Johnny Marr, watching your former partner in crime just walking around the world destroying the legacy of something which a lot of people loved.
Well, Johnny Marr now is, you know, he did the Bond soundtrack with Hans Zimmer.
He's fine.
I know what you're saying. Like, it must be an absolute shame.
It's a real shame. And there was that thing when, you know, Rick Astley was singing, was on stage doing a sort of a Smiths tribute thing, and everyone went, hooray, we can like Morrissey songs again. The problem with the film is not just that I think Morrissey is an arse, which I do. Obviously. The problem with the film is that the film is terrible. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that Morrissey then tweeted that he approved of it was like, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And there we are, you know, it's absolutely awful. Whether you're a Smiths fan, and I was a Smiths fan, I loved those tunes.
Probably hurts even more.
I remember driving through Rushome with Ollie Fox and in my gold Ford Escort, which I bought off my brother, which ended up catching fire, with a cassette of There Is a Light That Never Goes Out,
yeah.
and driving, just thinking, I love these songs.
I love these songs.
And then Morrissey spoiled everything. And then this film came along and it was like, oh yeah, this is just awful. And it's Airheads, but less funny. And it's just terrible. And of course Morrissey likes it. Of course he does, yeah. So number two.
That should be the quote on it.
Of course Morrissey likes it.
Of course Morrissey.
Well, my quote was, it is exactly the film that Morrissey deserves.
Yeah.
And I will stand by that. So that's my number two. And incidentally, if you're a Morrissey fan and you want to tweet me and complain, please don't. Get a life.
Yeah.
You know what's stupid? It's you going to London and leaving all of us behind.
This could be the last time we ever see each other. You guys suck. It's like you're breaking up the band.
They don't know, do they?
No way.
They don't know it's over.
What's over?
The Smiths broke up.
What?
What?
No. You're telling me.
I woke up hoping that everything might change for the better. Like, maybe today will be different, you know?
Then I got home and I heard the news. A strange fear gripped me.
Anyway,
you've listened this far into the podcast.
Exactly.
Can't
yeah.
So my least,
number one.
Yeah, my least favorite film of the year is Reminiscence.
Ooh.
Have you seen that film? The one with Hugh Jackman in it and.
You hate it so much you've forgotten about
it. Yeah, exactly, which is kind of ironic.
I don't think I know Reminiscence.
It was directed... It's got Rebecca Ferguson in it.
Okay.
And Hugh Jackman. And it's directed by Lisa Joy, I think her name is.
Okay.
Let's have a look. Let's make sure I'm right about this. So it was directed by Lisa Joy and produced by Jonathan Nolan.
Wow, and it's in cinemas right now.
Oh, is it?
It's currently playing at the Empire in Walthamstow.
Oh, wow, there we go. Well, I saw it in the summer at some point.
Wow.
Tell
me about it. Jack, this is you're introducing me to a new treat.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
So they did a TV show called Westworld.
Yes.
Which I've only seen the first series of, but I thought it was fantastic. And it's definitely got that... I mean, Jonathan Nolan, obviously, having... being a Nolan has got similar kind of like vibes to his brother.
Yeah.
It's about kind of.
And of course, he's worked with his brother.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
He's part of some of the films that we love.
Yes,
of his
exactly.
Brother, so,
yeah. Like Memento, obviously, is about memory and things like that. And Reminiscence is a similar thing to that, but on a larger, more Inception kind of scale.
So this is produced by Jonathan Nolan.
Correct.
This is directed and written by Lisa Joy,
who he is married to.
And
they're partners in both. Filmmaking and in life.
And it stars Hugh Jackman, Rebecca Ferguson, Tandy Newton and Cliff Curtis. That's
yes.
a good cast.
It is.
So what's the story, Jack?
So it's difficult to try and sum it up, but basically it's a mystery in the mind. It's like you have to go back through memories in order to try and solve the mystery, and it's kind of a noir kind of vibe to it where Hugh Jackman is trying to recall something. This is it. It's like it's so muddled in my head because all I can remember are all the sort of like bad pieces
of it. It's so brilliant that you can't remember a film called Reminiscence.
I know, isn't that just so ironic? It's so brilliant. I mean, I'm just reading on the Wikipedia that it says it was a box office bomb, grossing $15 million worldwide against its $110 million budget.
Well, you say box office bomb, but at the time that we're speaking, it's currently playing in Walthamstow. So, so hey, you know, you take your box office bomb and stick it, frankly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I maybe should have done a little bit more sort of... a bit more homework on it, but like I literally obviously saw it and went, I'm going to forget about that. But I think it's because mostly it's got a really interesting premise where it's like Inception, where you can go into memories the way that you, in Inception you can go into dreams.
Yeah.
But the way that they do it and the way that it's structured and the way that it's like even presented to you, like the technology, the way that it's designed within the movie, I just kind of don't buy. And it's obviously like... the way it's used, kind of the way that cinema is, like you can project memories the way that you can project a film.
Yeah.
And sometimes they do it in this kind of interesting beaded curtain kind of way where all the beads are representative of like a different, almost like a different pixel, and it kind of forms an image that way. But then in one of them they use this old technology that literally projects it like a film onto a screen, and I was like, this is a okay.
You're making it sound interesting.
It's interesting.
This is literally the worst film you've seen this year.
Yeah, I really didn't like it at all. I thought it was really poor, and like it's a bit schlocky. Like the romance in it is very like it's almost like erotic fiction romance. Like it's almost like pushing it so far that like Rebecca Ferguson's The Woman in the Red Dress kind of vibe. Again, I should have done more homework for this, but there's like a moment in it.
I love the fact this is all staying in the podcast.
Yeah,
but hey, can I just say one thing that's really interesting is, we are so much less interested in the films we don't like than the films we do like. And I actually think this is a turn for the better. Because, you know, quite a lot of the time people say, oh, you know, I just want to hear your reviews for the ones you hate. And as you are demonstrating, the films that are really rubbish, you just can't remember.
You let them go.
You can't, you know. It's
I just remember going to the pub afterwards with the friends of mine who were there with me and just talking about it at length about like, this didn't work and this didn't work and why. And just even like conceptually, the idea of like going into a memory and then not being able to, like, you're just letting it play out, but you're there. And then, coincidentally, I ended up seeing a new Rick and Morty episode that was coming out that did the same concept of going back through a memory where he meets a previous version of himself and he figures out, oh, how you remember me to be.
Okay.
And it's like that Inception thing of, oh, we're figuring out that we're in that now and we can break it and use it to our advantage in a sort of Matrix way.
Okay.
And this film just doesn't. It's just boring.
Jack, I'm going to do something which I think is quite interesting, okay? My number one worst film of the year.
Mm.
Stardust. It's the David Bowie film, which has got no David Bowie lyrics, no David Bowie music, David Bowie wit, no David Bowie star. It's just rubbish. And I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
So here's a really interesting thing. I mean this because I'm genuinely fascinated by this. We're not that interested in films that we don't like. And I wonder whether that is a sign of something positive. Okay, when we were talking about the films that we loved, we were enthusing and we were, you know, blah blah blah. But if you think a film is really poor, mm-hmm. it's actually, I mean, there are films that make you angry, there are films that you know make you kind of worked up, but actually with this list that we've just done, it's like we're just not that bothered.
Yeah, it just didn't do it for me. And, like, I remember it not doing it for me. And that's it, isn't it? Yeah, and I think you're right. I don't know if it's a sign of the times or anything like that where we don't need any more negativity or any more, like, anything to complain about.
Do you think we've just become nice?
I hope so. I've always thought you were nice.
Oh, I'm not nice.
but
disavow
I think you're
yourself of that.
I think you're right that there is something... and it's nice that you've acknowledged it, that, like, there is something about the fact that it's less interesting to complain about films and I also like with Lisa Joy as a filmmaker, for example, wouldn't say, oh, I wouldn't ever see one of her films again. I'd just be like, this one just didn't work for
me. This is like when I was saying about the director of Silent Night.
Yeah,
I think she might make something brilliant. Mm. I mean, I remember hating Meet the Feebles. Okay, the Peter Jackson film. It was a really, I thought it was a mean, you're smart because you're a fan of Meet the Feebles.
I've never seen
it. Okay, fine. So Peter Jackson made Bad Taste, you know, and a bunch of things that I like. But he made Meet the Feebles, and I thought it was a mean-spirited, cruel, nasty little film. And Peter Jackson then went on to make Heavenly Creatures, and which I think is one of the greatest films ever made, and the Lord of the Rings movies, which I absolutely love.
Of course.
And he's Peter Jackson, for God's sake. Yeah. You know, so it is perfectly possible for somebody to make a film that is absolutely terrible and then make something that is absolutely brilliant. What's worse is making a film that you just don't care about, that you just go, and what's fascinating about Reminiscence, you can't remember it and I've never seen it, and I think actually
is it real?
I think therefore you win, that it must be the worst movie of the year, because it's like literally gone completely off everyone's radar.
Yeah, I think Rebecca Ferguson's probably happy that it did as well, because she had Dune in the same year.
Oh yeah, which of course is absolutely brilliant.
It's stunning, and like if we were doing a bigger list as well, like would should have been spoken about, and I bet some people are disappointed that we haven't spoken about Dune together.
Well, you know, we will talk. We this isn't the last time we're going to be together. I mean, are we breaking up?
No, just
to be clear. Well, I think that's really encouraging.
Yeah,
I think there we go.
What a nice note to end on.
Yeah,
doing the negative side of the list, but ending on a positive note,
which is that we're actually not that bothered about things we don't like anymore.
Now I do need to rush off and see Spider-Man again now.
Oh, I do. What time does it start?
It starts probably in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
In Leicester Square, so I need to run.
Okay. It's been lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you as well. I hope you have a great Christmas.
And you.
And everybody listening as
well. Everyone listening has already had a great Christmas, because this is now going out, and it's probably the new year.
Yeah.
The apocalypse has probably happened.
Who knows? Don't look up.
That's right. Don't look up. And Jack, always remember, you know what it's about?
Family.
Thank you so much. I literally have to run.
Go.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
I'll see you soon.